Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is program 353 in the series, January 13th, 2019. And to my right is the ultra-vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. So excited to be here on a Sunday morning.
Ultra-vivacious?
Oh, I'm just ultra.
She got her hair cut. And
yeah.
She used that shampoo that makes hair look very shiny and new.
I'm shiny, and I'm very new.
What is it? Prel? That's probably what it is, right?
Yeah, Prel.
P-R-E-L-L. Prel shampoo.
That's the one. It's got a little pearl in it.
Yeah. We have Ben Anderson producing the show tonight. What's up, Ben? How's things? All good?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
All right.
We're glad you're
glad
with
to be
us,
here.
And
yeah.
We appreciate having you here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to see Lisa's new hair.
Yeah.
It was worth the trip, now, wasn't it?
It was.
Looks pretty darn good,
and
Lisa.
And here's the thing. We have known Ben for, I don't know, since you've been here, and yet you've never produced our show, so this is a very important night here at WGN.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
What?
We have James Stewart starring as the Six Shooter, and then a amazing cast on the Jack Benny Program. You ready for his guests? Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx join Jack Benny on the Jack Benny Program. So, terrific lineup for our two-hour edition of the WGN Radio Theater. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. So, it's time to play our game. Cat's Pride, is it real or is it ridiculous? And who is the celebrity?
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
Well, that's timely.
Well, we're not going to talk about the controversy.
All
right. We're just going to talk about him as an actor.
Okay. Sounds good.
And the prize is a $25 gift certificate for the very best pizza. Lou Malnati's.
Oh, man. Spinach pizza.
Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah, it does. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right. So call us now, 312-981-7200. What caller would you
like? We're
going
to go with caller 5.
Caller 5, 312-981-7200. Call right now. Play the game live on the air. We'll be right back. Lisa's going to tell everyone about a special offer for the Classic Radio Club in a little bit. But first, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
And we have Jimmy on the phone to play a little real or ridiculous. Hey, Jimmy, how are you? Where's Jimmy?
He's here.
We got him.
Hello.
Hey, how are
you? Hey, Jimmy.
Okay.
Good. We're glad we got you. We're going to play a little real or ridiculous. You know a few things about Kevin Spacey?
Not much. I'm not interested, but I'll try.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Kevin Spacey is an avid wrestling fan. Is that real?
Oh, yeah, he likes to wrestle, all right.
Hey, we're going to keep this clean here.
Okay.
Is that real or ridiculous?
At this point, I got to say true.
Carl?
I say ridiculous.
It's real. You
what?
Really should listen to Jimmy more
God,
often.
Here's Jimmy. Here's Carl. I just stink at this game.
I know. Gosh. That's why I enjoy it so much.
Oh,
okay,
man.
Jimmy. He auditioned to be a contestant on The Gong Show. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, man. I think it's real. I'm going to say real.
It's real.
Oh,
he auditioned and he was rejected.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Duh.
All right.
That's for me. Here's for Jimmy.
All right. One more for you. He was considered to play the role of Inspector Clouseau in The Pink Panther. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to go with real. You know what I think? I think Peter Sellers played it, but then when they were looking for a replacement and Steve Martin played the role, I think they may have offered it to him. So I'm going to say real.
That is absolutely right. This is in 2006. He didn't necessarily get offered, but he was one of the people they were considering. So it is real. But the good news here, Jimmy, is Either way, you're the winner here, and you are the one who's won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. And of course, Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza and our favorite here. You can find one of the 40 plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much for playing, and we hope you absolutely love your pizza.
Way to go, Jimmy.
You guys have a great show.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Appreciate you. All right. He is a big winner, Lisa, and he did good. Well, he got one out of three or two out of three. Did he get two? I can't remember. I got two, though.
You know,
it's not too bad.
No. Nope.
It started out bad, and then I...
Yeah, that's about as good as it gets for you.
I know. Hey, talk about our special that we're running for Classic Radio Club.
It's a very limited time offer, so we want to make sure to get the word out now before the offer ends. The first 50 people that sign up, and we started this last night, get a very special offer from our Classic Radio Club. So what you do is you go to our website, classicradioclub.com, and there are two options there if you love classic radio, and we know that you do. So the first option is to get the 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs sent to your door. The second option is to have them emailed to you. You still get all of the liner notes and all the information, just two different ways of receiving these classic radio shows. No matter what, the special is that you get them for $1 for the first month. That is only if you enter the promo code radio at checkout. If you enter radio at checkout, you get this special for 1 month for $1.
Let me clarify something.
Oh, I'll clarify
it for you. Is it 10 shows on 5 CDs for a buck?
10 shows on 5 CDs for a buck to your door plus shipping and handling.
Wow.
Or you get all the same great shows emailed to you for only $1.
Abbott Costello's Who's On First, yep. Suspense, Gunsmoke,
Lights
Jack
out,
Benny,
all the good stuff.
Wow.
Go to classicradioclub.com. Don't forget to enter promo code radio. And you know what? Give it a shot. It's only a buck. If you love it, terrific. Stay with us. If you don't love it, you can cancel at any time. No obligation. So
right.
We hope that you'll check it out.
Yeah.
ClassicRadioClub.com.
You can test the club for a buck. You don't like it? Cancel. That's all. Yeah. And we're limited to 50 people. We did have a bunch of signups yesterday, but there's still availability. So go to ClassicRadioClub.com. Thanks, Lisa. All right, time now for the six shooter. Don't forget, though, folks, text us 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts, 312-981-7200. Now, this was a Western series. James Stewart was tapped to play Britt Ponsett, frontier drifter, all-around good guy. This premiered on NBC Radio in 1953, and Ponsett carried a gray steel six gun with an unmarked rainbow mother of pearl handle. People called them both the six shooter. Now, Stewart was perfect as the slow talking maverick who found himself embroiled in other people's problems. And sometimes he had to shoot his way out, Lisa, get into problems. And he was a tough guy, but you know what? He was a good guy too. So it was a really interesting Western series. But you know what? Came too late. Came to radio in 1953. Yeah. Radio was really kind of making its way out. TV was coming into the forefront. And so that only lasted one season. Now, we have all of the episodes, and you're going to hear one now. Really good show from April 29th, 1954. This is called The Revenge of Harness Creek. It stars James Stewart. Here's part one of The Six Shooter.
James Stewart as the six shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the six shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
known the Harcourt brothers a good many years. First time I passed through Harness Creek, they were just youngsters. Of course, that was before their pa died. But Cash Harcourt, he was all of 26 now, and a great big star on his vest, and a Colt 45 stuck in his belt. It seemed funny to think of him as the town sheriff. Well, not that he didn't look the part, but I couldn't help remembering him when his legs weren't long enough to reach the stirrups and the pony. Lex Harcourt, he wasn't quite so grown up. He must be about 20 or so. He sure tried to appear older, though. A great big mustache sprawling across his upper lip and a kind of a swagger when he walked. But in spite of all his trying to be old and everything, he was still Cash Harcourt's kid brother, and everybody knew it. Well, anyway, the reason I came into Harness Creek is I was going to sign up for the Silver Spur cattle drive down in New Mexico. Only trouble was I hit town a week or so early. Silver Spur outfit is still out in the range. So while I was waiting, I stopped off with the Harcourt boys and their aunt, Mrs. Petrie. She kept house for them.
There now. More fritters, Fritz?
Oh, no. Thanks, Miss Petrie. I've had my share.
You, Cash?
I'm full up too, Aunt Bess.
No need to ask you, Lex. There you are. That's the last of them.
Well, now, Aunt Bess, you know the only reason I take seconds is so you won't have to throw the food away.
Uh-huh. Seconds? Seems to me that's about his fourth helping the fritters, ain't it, Britt?
Well, I don't know, Cash. I'm not for certain. I sort of lost count after the third time he stuck that plate out.
Big growing boy like him. Guess he's bound to stow away a lot of grub.
Well, now, I wouldn't josh about my growing so much if I was you, Cash. Just give me another inch or so, and I'll be ready to trim you down to size.
Now, hush, both of you. Brit here will think you two are serious.
Oh, don't worry about that, Miss Petrie. They've been talking about fighting each other for the last 10 years, but whenever there's a real scrap, somehow the Harcourt brothers usually manage to wind up on the same side.
Well, I wouldn't count on that, Brit. You know, Lex has been getting pretty feisty late here. I may have to take him down a peg or two.
Yeah? Well, now, let me tell you that there's just one thing that's kept me from cleaning your plow long before this.
Oh?
Minute I was to start something, like as not, you'd throw me in jail.
Well, I guess I'd have to, wouldn't I? For your own safety? Mm-hmm. Well, if I was ever to slug you back, you just might not be around afterwards. Tell about it.
Well, now, if that's
you just stop this foolishness. Get out of my kitchen, all three of
okay,
you.
Okay, Aunt
the idea of brothers talking like that. Well, go along now. Go along, or I'll show you who's the real boss of this family.
You know, Britt, I wouldn't be surprised if you could.
I don't doubt it for a minute, Kat. Not for a minute.
Now, and you too, Lex. There ain't another mouthful of food left to eat.
All right, Aunt Bess.
I'd be real pleased to help you with those dishes, Miss Petrie.
Oh, you think I want some man breaking up my fancy china? No, thank you. You just wait there in the sitting room with the boys, and I'll join you just as soon as I give these things a lick and a promise.
Your aunt sure is a fine woman, Kay.
Yeah. I don't know what we'd do that, Britt. Lex don't even remember our ma, and well, I just sort of recollect her real faint-like. It was Aunt Bess who brung us up to all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Well, sit down, Britt. You sit down?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, what are you so fidgety for, Lex? If you're going calling on Hannah Joseph again tonight, no cause to act sheepish about it.
I ain't going calling. Cash.
Yeah?
Well, Britt and me was talking this afternoon, and he says, well, he thinks that maybe I can sign up for the Silver Spur Drive.
Is that so?
Well, it stands to reason. He'll probably be needing all the extra hands they can get. Hey, ain't that how you figured, Britt?
Yeah, it usually works out that way.
Yeah, well, you ain't going on no cattle drive, Lex, so just get that idea out of your head.
I don't see why not.
Because I said so, that's why.
Look, you may be the sheriff, but you ain't my boss. Cash, I'm not...
Lex, look, you ain't got the foggiest notion of what a cattle drive means. You wouldn't last more than a week.
Maybe I wouldn't. And maybe I would. And it ain't gonna do me no harm to try.
Well, I said forget it. You're so anxious to get a job, there's work around here in town. Plenty of work, huh? Speak to Mr. Crawford.
I ain't interested in a store job.
No, you ain't interested in anything you're fit for.
I made up my mind, Cash. I'm signing on with the Silver Spur if they'll have me.
Yeah, well, you just better start on making that mind of yours. You're staying right here.
Where you can keep an eye on me?
That's right, where I can keep an eye on you.
You know, someday you and me are really going to tangle. and this might just be the day.
All right, Lex, that's how you want it?
Oh, now, hold on now. Wait a minute here.
Now, don't worry, Brett. I whipped him before lots of times. He isn't likely to ask for it again. Are you, Lex? Well? Yeah, a little fresh air would do him good, cool him off.
Mm-hmm. Let me so.
I don't see what got into you, Brett. Encouraging him in this cattle drive nonsense.
Oh, I didn't exactly encourage him. He asked me if the Silver Spur would take him. I said I thought maybe they would.
You should have told him different.
Well, I'm not in the habit of lying, Cash.
No. I'm sorry, Brett. I didn't mean that.
Well, why are you so dead set against him taking out on his own?
I ain't set against it, Brett. Not really. It's just that, you know, Lex is young, might wild, never had a paw to keep a tight rein on him. Needs somebody around, see, that he don't get into trouble.
Uh-huh.
Another year or two when he's married, maybe, and he's got somebody else to worry after. Well, things will be different then. He'll be different right now. You think I'm riding him too hard, Brett?
Well, he's your brother. You'd be the best judge of that.
Yeah. Huh. It's
getting kind of late, ain't it? You must be pretty tired after that ride today.
Yeah, well, I sure wouldn't object a little sleep, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, come on. I'll show you where you bed down.
I was tired, too. I started sawing the wood the minute I hit that mattress. I guess I'd have slept through almost anything that night. Leastwise, I didn't completely wake up when somebody started pounding on the door along about 2 a.m. I sort of did remember hearing some talk afterwards, but it wasn't loud enough for me to get the gist of it. I figured there'd been some trouble in town, probably, and Cash to take care of. And so I turned over and shoved my face into the pillow. I would have gone right back to sleep again, except a couple of minutes later.
Bria, are you awake?
Why? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Miss Petrie, I'm awake. What's the trouble?
It's Lex. He's been shot.
What?
It happened at Luke Fawcett's place. Cash has gone down there already, but I thought maybe you... Well, Britt...
Sure. As soon as I get some clothes on. As I came around the corner, I saw a little crowd in front of Fawcett's gambling hall. 5 or 6 men standing together, not saying anything, just waiting. I started to push through them, but before I could get to the door, Cash Harcourt came outside. His jaw was set and his hat's pulled down tight. Eyes were staring straight ahead, but he wasn't looking at anybody. Marched right past me without even noticing where I was. How is he, Cash?
Oh, Brett.
How is he?
Lex is dead.
Oh.
He was dead when I got here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cash.
Yeah.
You know who did it?
Adam Roby. That's what the boys say.
It was Roby, all right. Sure did.
Yeah. Well, I ain't got no more time to waste here. So long, Brett.
Well, you're going after him, huh?
What do you think?
Well, I just thought if you wanted some company, I guess I could...
No. I'll handle this alone, Brett.
Sure. All right, Cash. Whatever you say.
I'll tell you one thing, Brett. I wouldn't like to be in Roby's shoes when they meet up.
Oh, sir, not me.
But you fellas see the whole thing?
Yeah, well, I was standing right there in the gambling hall when it happened. They were playing cards together, and Adam had been winning, and Lex had been drinking. If you ask me, Lex was just plain...
Yeah?
Nothing, Mr. Fawcett. Nothing.
No, go on. What are you going to say?
I guess Sheriff Harcourt wouldn't appreciate my opinion, and besides, it's late. I've got to be getting home.
Yeah, I think I'll be going along.
Yeah, so long.
Yeah, so long, Alicia. Alicia. That's the first portion of The Six Shooter, going back to 1954, Revenge of Harness Creek. Stewart there as Britt Ponsett, The Six Shooter. You enjoying this good Western, folksy Western adventure?
It's good Western. I'm actually enjoying your interpretation of Jimmy Stewart just as well.
It's not my best impersonation.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's definitely not my best
one. You keep working.
I impersonate this guy, Calamari, you know, the squid.
Don't know him.
The squid. You know that? You don't know him? You never heard of it?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Alrighty, MeTV. I love listening to MeTV FM. The music is awesome. They play great music. And I, of course, love MeTV, the television series.
I thought you were just saying I love me.
MeTV TV and also Antenna TV.
I love
these
it
are
too.
These are two cable stations that I could watch maybe 5 hours a day. I mean, any more than that, and it's. But I could really. I don't spend 5 hours watching it. I mean, I love Netflix. Watching the Fall. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Lisa got me hooked on this series on Netflix called The Fall.
Oh my gosh,
it's unbelievable.
There's three seasons. Yeah. I'm just starting
season
three.
Do you have Netflix?
Yeah.
So there's a series called The Fall.
Okay.
Jamie Dornan
from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh,
that's Carl's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
For Dakota. What's her name? Dakota Johnson. Yeah, she's not hard on the eyes.
Neither is he.
But this series is
The Fall with
three seasons.
It's Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson from X-Files.
You know what? It's a great show. I'm hooked. I'm just starting season three, and I'm just crazy. So it's really exciting.
Over the past 2 weeks, I've gotten so many suggestions for shows to watch on all the digital channels and on
Yeah, but you should
Prime
just be listening to me.
All right.
Yeah, just watch The Fall. All right. I wonder if Vic is watching The Fall. Vic, do you watch?
I just Googled it.
Yeah. Oh man, Vic. It's
come talk to me. I'll fill you in.
Let me just tell you, Vic.
Always looking for a new binge watch.
Yep, that's the one.
Unbelievable.
And I like the three seasons. You said it's got three seasons, right, guys?
So,
right, and there's six episodes each season, so it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's not forever ridiculous.
It's not like what's that one I was watching where there's like literally 50 episodes in each season.
I can't do it.
No,
it's so good. No, I can't remember.
Can't do it.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Wow, Bill Curtis sang our names there. I still just get a little, goosebumps when I hear Bill Curtis saying my name.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been in the room when it happened.
Yeah, well, you've met Bill Curtis. I've never met Bill Curtis.
I have a couple of times.
I like Bill Curtis.
I like him too.
I never met him either.
Yeah, he's very warm and very
well. It depends
very
how close
friendly.
You get to him. I guess.
It's probably 98.6.
Pretty close.
Really?
My
rim shot doesn't work.
You're ready?
Another
ready?
Difficult ready? Night.
Wait, hang on. He's probably 98.6.
That was a little tinny, but okay.
That's kind of tinny.
Tinny.
I don't
See,
like
we're going to keep Roger around for
I want to know why my rim shot's not working. Lisa probably, she probably sabotaged it. All right, well, let's get back now to James Stewart as the six shooter.
Well, I went on into the gambling hall. Old Mr. Hendricks, he was the undertaker in Harner's Creek. He already arrived. He'd taken charge. So, it looked like it was up to me to go back to the house and break the news to Mrs. Petrie. I sure wasn't looking forward to that. But, well, she sort of read it in my face without me even having to tell her.
He's gone, ain't he?
Yes, ma'am. Now, if there's anything I can do, Mrs. Petrie...
No, there's nothing, Britt. Thank you. How did Cash take it?
Well, he didn't say much. He just went looking for the man who shot Lex. Roby, that was his name.
Adam Roby?
I believe so, yes. You know him?
No, not well. He has a farm out south. And a wife and children. I've seen him at church and places. She She appeared a real nice woman.
Well, I guess she isn't to blame for...
I don't blame her, Britt. I don't even blame... Well, the truth is, I've been worried about Lex for a long time. Cash had been holding him down too much, trying to make him toe the line too much.
Well, I guess he was doing what he thought best.
But it wasn't best, not for Lex. You see, he resented it, being bossed by his brother. He resented it a whole lot. I knew he couldn't keep it in much longer, but I hoped that when the trouble come, it would be between him and Cash. Cash thought the world of Lex, and no matter what happened, he wouldn't have done anything to hurt him.
Oh, no, no, of course not.
Oh, that must be somebody coming to offer sympathy. News sure gets around in a small town. It ain't even daylight yet.
Oh, here, I'll get it. Yes, ma'am?
I'm Mrs. Roby.
Oh.
Adam's wife, I come about Adam.
Well, the sheriff isn't here right now, Mrs. Roby.
He's out looking for my husband, ain't he?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's what I figured. I didn't want to see Sheriff Harcourt. I wanted to talk to you.
Hmm?
You're Britt Ponsett, ain't you? The six shooter?
Yes, I'm Britt Ponsett.
May I?
Well, I just don't know, Mrs. Roby. You see that... Yeah?
Let her come in.
Mrs. Petrie. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so terrible sorry.
Sure. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Mr. Ponsett, I don't know how to say this, but...
If you'd like to talk to Britt alone...
No. No, it's best that you hear it, too. Mr. Ponsett, Adam come home right after the killing to get some things together. He told me it wasn't his fault. He swore that it wasn't. He says Lex was spoiling for a fight that Lex drew first. Adam ain't never been a man for shooting, Mr. Ponsett. I believe what he said.
Well, I guess that's natural enough.
Well, he's hiding out now. Sheriff won't be able to find him.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that, Mrs. Roby. Sooner or later...
Well, that's just it. Adam doesn't want to hide out. He wants to give himself up.
Oh?
He says he'll give himself up to you.
To me?
He wants you to promise that you'll turn him over to the district marshal at Standish Falls.
Well, I just don't know what you're driving at, Miss Roby.
Adam's afraid that if Sheriff Harcourt finds him, the sheriff will... Adam's afraid he won't get a trial. That's all he's asking, a fair trial.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Roby. This isn't any of my affair.
Oh, Mr. Ponsett,
no,
please.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, thanks anyway.
Britt.
Yes, ma'am?
I'd like you to see that Adam Roby got to the marshal at Standish Falls.
You what?
With Cash feeling the way he does now, he might do something he'll regret for the rest of his life. Oh, it's bad enough, Britt, what happened tonight. I wouldn't want anything worse.
Now, Miss Petrie, I'm certain that Cash wouldn't
Lex do anything. Lex was the only person on the face of this earth that Cash cared about, and he'll blame himself for what happened. Blame himself for not being there. And he'll just have to take it out on somebody. I'm not standing up for Adam Roby, Britt. I'm not even thinking about him. I'm just thinking about Cash.
Well, even so, I'm sure I don't see where my place is,
Britt,
in this thing.
A little while ago, you asked me if there was something you could do.
Yes, ma'am.
Well.
Mr. Ponsett. Just give me your promise that Adam will get to Standish Falls, and I'll tell you where you can find him.
All right, Miss Roby. I'll give you my promise.
Well, it was getting on towards 6 o'clock in the morning by the time I left Harness Creek. According to his wife, Adam Roby was hiding in a cabin in Moon Canyon, about 20 miles east, so I started off in that direction. Well, about 7:30, I passed the north boundary of the Silver Spur, and I swung up a wedge trail that wound through a yellow outcrop of rock. It was more than 10 minutes later when I spotted somebody ahead, a man riding down the trail toward me. I pulled up in the shade of some evergreen, waited. The fella finally came within recognizing distance. Cash Harcourt. Yeah, no doubt about it. From the looks of that bay mare of his, he'd been riding pretty hard. The horse's flanks were covered with sweat, and her head was down, swinging side to side with every step she took. Cash hadn't seen me yet, but when he did, he gave a start, and his .45 came out fast.
Hey, it's me, Cash. Brent.
I'll take it easy with that thing.
Devil, are you doing out here? Told you I didn't want no help.
Yeah, you did.
Well, going back to town then. I can handle Roby alone.
Nobody said you couldn't.
Then stop following me.
From the looks of the things, I'd say we were moving in opposite directions, don't you think?
Just running down some tracks here. They stopped a mile or so up ahead. Couldn't be Roby.
Well, I don't think I'll turn around just yet. That is, if you haven't got any objections.
I got objections.
Is that so?
Leave him to me, Brett.
Now, as long as you're certain he didn't come this way, I don't see what difference it makes if I ride on a little further.
I'm the sheriff, Brett. You ain't got no business interfering with the way I carry out the law.
That's right. As long as you do carry out the law.
What are you talking about?
Roby's wife is scared that you won't bring him in for a trial if you find him.
Huh?
And she asked me to turn him over to the marshal at Standish Falls. Now, I didn't want to get mixed up in this, Cash, and I told her so right straight out. But it's what your aunt wanted, too.
Aunt Bess?
That's right. I couldn't very well turn her down after what happened last night.
Aunt Bess thinks that I'd kill Roby.
She thinks you're upset, that's all.
Well, ain't I got a right to be upset?
Sure you have.
So, you want to take Roby over to Marshal Griffiths, eh?
Yeah, well, I haven't found him yet.
Mm-hmm. Suppose his wife told you where to look. I got a right to ask you, Brett. He's a wanted man.
Are you asking, Cash?
Guess it don't matter. All I care about is seeing that he's arrested, brought to justice. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, well, I guess between us, we stand a pretty good chance of finding him.
Yeah. Well, good night.
I watched Cash over my shoulder until he was out of sight, and then I started off again. Let's go, boy. Come on. About 6 miles later, I passed a waterfall that Mrs. Roby had said was a landmark. I turned Scar into a little box canyon to the left of the falls. A couple of miles further, I came to the shack. Whoa, Scar. Whoa. Well, it was easy enough to see how Cash had missed it. Unless you knew there was a cabin in the canyon, or didn't stand a chance of finding it. I walked out into the open, but I stopped a good 20 yards before I got in rifle range.
Roby!
Roby, it's Ponson, Roby! Brett Ponson!
You alone?
Yeah, I'm alone.
I might tell you where to find me.
That's right.
And you're taking me to Standish Falls.
If that's how you want it.
Yeah, that's how I want it. Where's Sheriff Harcourt?
He's riding toward town, last I saw him.
Okay, Ponson. I'll be right out.
About a minute later, he came toward me leading the sorrel pony, and he'd had it tethered behind the cabin. A little man, sort of grayish, with deep-set eyes and a kind of tired sag to his mouth. He was holding a Winchester carbine under one arm. He looked around anxious-like, as if he wasn't certain I was telling the truth, and then he seemed to satisfy himself, and he shoved the carbine into the saddle scabbard, and he climbed onto the pony.
We'll take the south trail and cut around Harness Creek.
Whatever you say.
Let's go.
Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah? Now, I want you to know that, well, the shooting wasn't my fault. Lex was on the prod. He forced me into it.
Now, that's for a jury to decide, Roby.
Sure, but I reckon you believe my story or you wouldn't be doing this.
I believe you're entitled to a trial, that's all. As far as I can tell, so is everybody else. Sheriff Harcourt included.
You didn't tell him where I was.
I didn't tell him. Come on, let's move along.
Yeah.
We rode out of the canyon and turned south just beyond the falls. For the next hour or so, we didn't do any more talking. There just didn't seem to be much to talk about. And then we started down from the crest of the ridge, and I saw a flat stretch of land out ahead. We still had about a mile of rough mountain trail before we hit that level ground. Roby was about 8 feet behind me, and as I edged Scar around a big boulder, he was out of sight for a couple of seconds.
Hey, get down behind some, Roby. Hurry up.
I slid off Scar and I flattened myself against the ground. I hunched over a couple of feet to my left and I got a glimpse of Roby. He was crouched behind a slice of orange granite and he didn't look like he got hit. I got up on my haunches and I ran over toward him. You all right?
Yeah, I guess so. I thought you didn't tell Harcourt where I was.
I didn't.
And how'd he find us?
Maybe this isn't Harcourt.
Now, who else could it be?
I pushed up a couple of inches and I saw him. He was standing on a ledge, right out in the clear, silhouetted against a great big white cloud. The sun was behind him, and I didn't have to look at his face, know who it was.
Cash! Cash, what's the matter with you?
Keep out of the way, Britt.
We can hold him off. Just give me a chance to get my car by.
You stay where you are.
Huh? Oh, thought you was on my side. I might have known you and him are friends.
We're friends.
You're going to let him kill me, huh?
Nobody's going to kill you, Roby. Now, you just sit tight.
Cash! Cash, I'm coming out!
This ain't your affair, Britt. I told you that.
It's my affair now. But I'm not using my gun, so if you're set on killing somebody, here's your chance.
I ain't got no grudge with you. It's Roby I'm after. That's why I followed you. That's why I've been waiting here.
If you're after him, you're after me. I gave my word he'd get to Standish Falls.
Rick, you're forcing me to shoot you down.
That's right. That's just what I'm doing. Ought to be a pretty easy target, Cash. Come on. What are you waiting for?
Think I'm afraid, don't you?
You ought to be. Man ought to be afraid to kill another man.
Well, I ain't.
You're not afraid to kill Roby because you feel you're justified. How about me? How about me? You ready to kill me?
Go on, Brett, draw.
I'm not drawing, Cash.
Don't you understand? Lex is dead and Roby shot him.
Yeah?
You're going to make it up for that kid. Roby will get out of it somehow. You say it was Lex's fault.
Probably.
You're still standing up for him?
Give me your gun, Cash.
Why can't I kill you, Brett?
Give me your gun.
I want to pull the trigger, but I can't. Why?
I don't know. I don't know, but I was pretty sure you wouldn't.
Well, looks like I ain't got much choice. Here, take it.
You want to ride along with us? Make sure I get him to the marshal?
No, head back to town.
All right, suit yourself.
Roby! Roby!
Yeah?
Now bring the horses up here. We're going to Standish Falls.
Well, by the time I got back from turning Roby over to the marshal, the Silver Spur Ranch was all ready to start driving its herd north. I moved out with him, so I wasn't around for the trial. I haven't heard how it came out, but I suppose one of these days the news will catch up with me.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Eleanor Audley, Lamont Johnson, Forrest Lewis, and Burt Holland. Special music for this program was by Basil Adler, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is John Wall speaking. Hear Jason and the Golden Fleece tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
There you have it. That's The Six Shooter, one of the best westerns on radio, in my opinion. Too bad it came late and only lasted one season. He had a huge name with James Stewart, and he liked playing western characters. He was terrific in this part. April 29th, 1954, The Revenge of Harness Creek, with a great cast in that series as well, as heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. So one of our new sponsors, and I'm very excited about them, is Woodman's. They're a supermarket chain founded in 1919. They're employee-owned. They're the largest grocery selection in the state. And there are 16 locations of Woodman's, 12 stores in Wisconsin, 4 stores in Illinois. Now, the Illinois stores are in Buffalo Grove, Carpentersville, North Aurora, and Rockford. Now, all of the locations, Lisa, are open 24 hours a day. We could leave here after the show. Lisa and I carpool. We could stop at a Woodman's, and I can pick you up some meat, because I know how much you like
you
meat.
You can pick me up.
I know how much you like to eat meat.
You said you can pick me up some
You know,
meat.
You're a big meat eater. You're a big carnivore. Get you some meat.
Yeah, that sounds just delicious.
Dandy, doesn't it? But you know what? They have just, they're huge. These Woodman's are just enormous. And
I know they're family owned.
They are.
Right. And they've been around how many years?
Well, they've been around since 1919.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a long, long time. I mean, there were like cowboys still walking around in 1919.
And great prices.
Oh.
And a huge selection.
Yes.
I don't know what more you could ask for.
They're amazing.
In a grocery store.
So do check out Woodman's. And we have a special promotion running with Woodman's. If you shop there, just take a photo of your Woodman's receipt. You could probably do that with your smartphone. It's easiest. And then email it to me at Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. Once again, that's Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. And then I'll send you back 12 classic radio shows via digital download to your email. So every month we'll change up the 12 shows. And you get just like a special little bonus for shopping at Woodman's.
Yeah, shopping at Woodman's, get some free classic radio.
Absolutely. We love Woodman's.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. Hour two. It's 7 minutes after midnight. Thank you, Vic Vaughn. And to my right, Lisa Wolf. Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun doing this radio show.
Yeah,
with you.
Do have a lot of fun.
We just laugh and laugh and laugh.
I'm seriously, my cheeks are
Lisa
hurting from smiling all night.
Me up like you would not believe. I mean, she was reminding me of another radio station that we worked at. You'll get a kick out of this, Ben. And Vic, if you're listening. So we worked at a different radio station years ago, mm-hmm. and we had a regular producer, and we had this producer for years and years and years, and he was not a friendly person.
You know what? He was an excellent producer. Wasn't a friendly guy.
He was really not friendly. Sort of like Roger. You know how Roger's kind of mean?
I was going to say kind of like Ben.
Yeah,
Roger's
like Ben.
Gone. He's not listening. But
really and truly, everybody here is so nice. But this guy was kind of cranky and crabby.
We never knew what kind of mood he'd be in when we walked in. But this particular day when we walked in, he wasn't in the producer's booth.
Right, and there's glass. We're looking at Ben right now, and this guy was in...
Yeah, there's glass right across of the studio so that we can,
hand
signals, we can wave or, you know, whatever we need to do.
We do hand signals. Yeah.
But this particular day we got there and he's not in the room and it's dark in there. So we walk all the way to the end of the hall and he said that he's decided to now produce the show from a different studio all the way down the hall. So why?
We're like, well, I wonder why. I said, can you find out why? And so Lisa went
in
there.
So I asked him.
Yeah.
I said, what made you decide to, you know, change studios? I can't even say it. It's so crazy.
Just say it.
He said that he... I'm so sorry. Okay. He said that he didn't want to look at Carl's face anymore. He was sick of it.
So he didn't want to look at my face anymore.
This way.
I mean, listen, I don't want to look at my face anymore either. It's been 55 years.
So if there's something we needed to do, we had to get out of our chairs, yeah, open the door,
walk
and yell
all,
down the hall.
Or, walk all
to, or we'd scream down the hall. It was really something.
I mean, he didn't want... I mean, it was only a four-hour show. I mean, but I guess 4 hours every week staring at me in the mirror
you could be
or through the window was a lot, I guess.
A mirror would have been better.
Are you sick of my face yet, Lisa?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Well, is that why you wear those,
a couple more weeks
those patches
me.
Over your eyes?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was something.
Lisa just reminded me of that, and I just started cracking up. It was so funny.
We have a lot of fun times.
Gosh.
That was one of them.
I wish that guy well.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say his name. He'll remain nameless.
Well, just to add just to that, the one thing he said to me when I first started working there with you is he called me into the studio.
To reprimand you.
And he said to me, you really ought to stop smiling so much when you talk. I'm like, oh.
Because there's like a smile in her voice.
There's like a smile in your voice. There's a smile in my voice when I talk. And I just looked at it and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just left and that was that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't
he's
be smiling. Frown when you talk from now
no
on, would you?
No more smiling. I'm done with that.
Yeah, start
I'm going to act more
frowning.
Like Ben around here.
I know. All right, in this hour, the Jack Benny program from 1952, and his special guests are Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx. And in fact, when they were on the air doing this broadcast, March 2nd, 1952, there was a photographer. He took a picture of all of them. Actually, Jack Benny's not in the picture, but he took a picture of them, and we have that picture, and we have posted it on our Facebook page. So just go to Facebook, search WGN Radio Theater. You will see a picture of Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx with their script about to go on and do the Jack Benny show that we're about to listen to in just a few minutes.
See, that's what we do for you.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, before we do that, though, it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
And the celebrity is Cate Blanchett.
All right, Cate Blanchett. Yeah, she's great.
She's great. I only pick great ones.
That's true.
And the prize will be a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
Okay, and what caller would you like,
caller
Lisa?
Caller 3. We'll make it easy on
call
Ben.
Call now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We have Kathy on the phone. Hey, Kathy. We have Kathy on the phone. There she is. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. So glad you're with us. You ready for a little real
hi,
and ridiculous?
Kathy.
Willing. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Good. Thanks.
Terrific. All right. Cate Blanchett is our celebrity. Mm-hmm. And the first statement is she won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for The Aviator. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say real.
It is real. I'm sure of that.
It is. Well, you say that sometimes, but it is absolutely real. You guys are one for one.
Mm-hmm.
Good start. In 2017, she was awarded the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Oh, wow.
Is that real or ridiculous?
That's usually given to older people. I'm going to say ridiculous.
Wow. For some reason, my brain is saying real. So I'm going to go with real.
Well, you should stick with Kathy next time because that is ridiculous.
My
Your brain
is
fried.
Warped.
It was actually awarded to Meryl Streep that year.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So here you go. Here you go, Kathy. Oh, that's me.
No, she got it right.
That's me. Sorry. Here's for Kathy. I hit the wrong button.
You know, it's a good thing he's not a producer. Gosh, that's all I can say.
Imagine if I was
hitting all the wrong
on the
buttons.
Other side of the glass.
I can't actually imagine. Okay, number three. She learned how to play the violin for her role in The Merchant of Venice. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say real.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
Well, it is ridiculous.
What?
I just made that up. I don't believe she was ever in that play or learned to play a violin.
She's very sneaky, Kathy.
But
this
it made
Lisa
good
Wolf,
sense.
Very
you know?
Sneaky.
But that's okay because sneaky is good. You are a winner and you have won the highly coveted desktop indoor weather station. Everybody wants one. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers. Oh, I'm so happy.
So many times.
Oh, me too. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Congratulations. I hope you love your prize. I'm sure that you will.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Oh, take care.
And I love your show.
Oh,
thanks,
so nice.
Kathy. Appreciate you very much. Enjoy that prize.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
All righty. We love our listeners, and we love that they love the show. You know, we come here, and we do this show, and we love doing it, and, you know, we spend time during the week preparing for it. But when our listeners tell us that they love the show, it's just so... It feels so good.
It warms my heart.
It really does.
I always call this a labor of love mm-hmm. because it is.
Yeah, we get emails, we get texts. It's just really great, and we thank you for that. And we love doing it, and we're just glad you're out there enjoying it. So it's time now to enjoy the Jack Benny program. His special guests on March 2nd, 1952 were Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx. Here's part one now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny Program. Starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Hope. Gentlemen, once again, we're broadcasting from Palm Springs, California. This being such a romantic spot, I'd like to make the opening introduction with a little poem.
A poem?
Nestled in the hills, far away from care, is a place we go to breathe the desert air. And there, out by the pool, far from strife and toil, is our blue-eyed star selling suntan oil. And here he is, Jack Benny!
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, since we're in a poetic mood, I've written a poem for you, too.
Oh, you have?
Yes. I did not like your jingle, and if one more joke you tell, it's Bon Voyage, Don Wilson, and Welcome Home, Von Zell. let's not have any more of your poems, eh, Henry Wadsworth, fat fellow?
Wait a minute, Jack. If you get fresh with me, I'll follow you around all day and keep you in the shade.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, it's sure good to get back to Palm Springs, isn't it, Don?
Yes, Jack. I always have a wonderful time here.
I do, too, particularly because a fella can have such privacy here. You know, Don, yesterday I passed a big crowd in front of the drugstore, and not one person turned around or even bothered to look at me.
Really? Well, Jack, why were there such a crowd gathered?
They were getting Eddie Cantor's autograph. Imagine.
But, Jack, if you say people here have so much privacy, why did they ask Eddie Cantor for his autograph?
They didn't ask him.
They didn't?
No. Don, when a man stops you on the street, sings two choruses of Ida, then stamps his name on your forehead, there's nothing you can do about it. An eager beaver.
Jack, you're just mad at Eddie because he beat you on the golf course yesterday.
Sure, but he wouldn't have beaten me if he'd have played fair.
Fair?
Yes, imagine this, Don. When we both got on the last green, just as I was getting ready to putt, he put down a dime to mark his ball.
What's wrong with that?
He divided my point of interest. Then when I missed the putt, I got so mad I took a swing at the dime and sliced it right into my pocket. It's the first hole in one I ever made. Anyway, Don, I'm glad you mentioned golf because tonight our program is dedicated to the formal opening of the new Tamarisk Country Club here in Palm Springs. And it's really one of the most beautiful golf...
Hey, pardon me, but does this dull twosome mind if a funny man plays through?
Oh,
hi, you folks.
Well, look who's here, Sir Thomas Beecham. Say, Phil, Don and I were just talking about Tamarisk, the beautiful new golf course. Since you're such a good golfer, Phil, you'll love it.
Yeah, I know, Jackson. I played in the tournament out there yesterday. It is. It's a great course.
I thought I saw you out there yesterday, Phil. You were playing with some of your musicians, weren't you?
No.
Well, I saw Remley, Sammy, and Fletcher going around the course with you.
Yeah, but they weren't playing. Remley was carrying my bag.
Well, what was Sammy doing?
He was carrying Remley.
Well, what was Fletcher doing?
He was carrying the stuff that made it necessary for Sammy to carry Remley.
Oh, yes, Remley is your handicap.
He ain't no water hazard.
I know, I know.
Hey, Jackson, how about you and me playing out at Tamarisk someday?
Okay, Phil, maybe we can make a match.
Yeah, but... what do you usually go around then?
Well, my handicap is... Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, Don. Don, watch me. Watch me get him this time. Phil, ask me that again, will you?
Ask you what again?
What do you usually go around in?
Shorts or slacks, depending on the weather. Sammy may be carrying Remley, but you're carrying this program.
Phil, if that joke is carrying the program, I'd rather dragged a little bit. Anyway, I'll play golf with you anytime you want to.
Okay, Jackson, how much you want to bet?
I don't want to bet anything. All I want you to do is every time we get on the green, mark your ball with a dime.
A dime? Why?
I got a slice that'll make me a fortune. Say, Don, if you like to play a Tamarisk sometime, I'll get you.
Hey, Jackson, I heard you and Don reciting poetry before.
So what?
Hey, I got one that's a fifth.
A poem?
Yeah. It's about the weather that we had yesterday. Listen to this. I was getting some sun. Then I went inside. 'Cause the little white cloud sat down and cried.
You know, I expected... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, everybody.
Well, Dennis, I hope you're having as much fun in Palm Springs as we are.
I sure am, but boy, am I tired.
Tired? What have you been doing?
Well, last night I went to the movies and I had to stand for 2 hours.
That crowded, huh?
No, there was plenty of room.
Then why'd you have to stand in the movies?
I went to a drive-in and I didn't have a car.
Now, wait a minute, Dennis. How did you get into a drive-in without a car?
Oh, I was carrying an umbrella, and they thought I was a convertible.
Oh, stop being silly. What's that on your nose?
A windshield wiper.
What? Psst. Now cut that out! Windshield wiper. I suppose that thing on your forehead is your license number.
No, Eddie Cantor's autograph.
Oh, yeah. Now, Dennis, stop being silly and answer me. Are you having a good time?
Oh, I'll say. Friday night, I went to the Chi-Chi and saw Sally Rand. I never laughed so hard in all my life.
You know, Don, the weather here has been so beautiful today. I think
wait a minute, hold it. Let's go back here a minute. Look, didn't you listen to what this kid just said?
I listened to it, heard it, and ignored it.
Well, I ain't going to ignore it. Dennis, you went to the Chi-Chi and saw Sally Rand's act?
Uh-huh.
The Sally Rand?
Uh-huh.
And when you finally saw Sally Rand's act, you, laughed?
Yeah, I was sitting up so close, those fans tickled.
Don't look to me for sympathy, Bill. Years of experience have taught me that the only way to get along with Dennis have nothing more to do with him than is necessary. Like this, for instance. Now, Dennis, we're doing a program and you have to do a song.
Yes, sir.
What song are you going to sing?
The date boats are coming.
You mean shrimp boats.
This is Palm Springs, bud.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and sing. Sung by Dennis Day and accompanied by Phil Harris and his Stumbling Tumbleweed Orchestra.
That's the first portion of the Jack Benny program for March 2nd, 1952. A great lineup of guest stars on this. Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx. We'll get back to the show in just a few minutes. I heard Lisa's going to audition or try out for the kicker on the Bears this year. That's what I heard.
I am very athletic.
Are you good at kicking the ball through the uprights there?
I'm sure I'm not.
You can't kick a 50-yard field goal, Lisa?
I'm positive I could not.
Probably not.
Yeah,
me
probably hurt my
neither.
My manicured, pedicured toes.
You know, football is a rough sport, man.
Yes, it is.
You know, I played 1 year, and I got beat up a lot. I mean, I was just too much. I mean, there was big dudes playing football.
Yeah, no, I'm not that tough a gal.
You know,
no.
I decided to take up a badminton. That was a lot easier.
That's perfect for you.
Yeah, no.
Maybe some bowling.
Nah.
It's good.
Ping pong. Yeah, no, I was a baseball player. And baseball and gymnastics, which I did a cartwheel for Lisa yesterday. She dared me. So I did a cartwheel for her. She didn't think I could. Did I do one?
Sort of.
What? What are you talking about?
You didn't quite make it all the way around.
What do you mean I didn't make it? I did a perfect cartwheel.
I'm so sorry to inform you that was not.
Can you do it better than what I
did? I cannot.
I did a cartwheel for Lisa yesterday. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it was the first half was a cartwheel,
and then
it sort of fell over.
You
keep working on it. I will take a video of you, and I will post it.
I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, I bet you're not.
All right, we're going to get back to the Jack Benny program.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you Pacific. It is 12:34 in the morning here on a Monday morning. And thanks for staying up with us. Thanks for listening to us every week. We are here Saturday and Sunday nights beginning at 11:05 right here on the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN, world's greatest newspaper. If you didn't know what that stood for, I just maybe taught a couple of people. They might not have known who that is.
That's true.
You know? WGN. Yeah, I've been listening to WGN since I was a wee little kid, since I was a little tyke.
Good thing we didn't know each other back then.
Oh, man.
Trouble.
I started listening to WGN because of the Cubs. You know, the Cubs were on WGN as a little kid because I was a big Cub fan even as a little kid. And then I got into Eddie Schwartz's show, and I became really good friends with Eddie Schwartz. And Eddie used to have me on his show. Like, at first it started out just on Halloween. Every Halloween he'd have me on, and I would play the scary radio shows. But then it was got popular. People really liked to hear the shows. So then Eddie would have me on like four times a year, like once a quarter. I would go down to, they were on Addison Street at the time. The station was on Addison Street. And I would go down there, and he went on about, I think, 11 o'clock. He had like Nick DiGilio's time slots. I think he went on like maybe 11 or 12, something like that. I don't remember. I think it was like 11. And then I would be on all night with him playing classic radio shows. We'd get calls from all over the country because the signal, this amazing signal, reaches 40-plus states. And it was so thrilling for me to be with Eddie Schwartz on the air playing these classic radio shows. And Aubrey,
yes,
Mumpower was the engineer. And then as we come here working at full circle, and he's still here. Well, he retired now, and I miss Aubrey, but we have Ernie, and he's amazing, so it's just onwards and upwards. But Eddie Schwartz was a really good pal. I miss him very much.
Yeah.
He's a legend, legend on Chicago radio.
Yeah.
All right, we're listening to the Jack Benny program with special guests Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, and Groucho Marx. Here's the conclusion.
And now, folks,
hold it, Melvin. Just a minute. Just slow up a minute.
Huh?
I mean, look, I don't mind so much when we're at home, but when we're out of town, let's don't be making insulting remarks about the orchestra, huh?
Well, Phil, I got a right to make comments about your band. After all, who's the star of this show?
Well, when I see my paycheck, I know it ain't me.
Oh, stop complaining.
I'm not complaining, Jackson. It's just that I'd like to pay income tax like everybody else.
But
they don't even think I'm a citizen.
Phil, the only reason people don't think you're a citizen is because with that bottle of Lord Calvert in your hand all the time, you look like an Englishman. Such a long line for such a little laugh. So don't argue with me about money, salary, or it. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Gibson. Mr. Kitzel, it's certainly nice seeing you. What are you doing here in Palm Springs?
Oh, I just came down for a little visit.
Oh, good. Where are you living?
At the Hacienda Paseo de la Sal.
The Hacienda Paseo de la Sal?
Sal is my brother-in-law.
Oh, he's, he's married to your sister?
Yeah, her name is Hacienda.
Well, what about Paseo?
He's a silent partner.
Oh, I see. Well, tell me, Mr. Kitzel, is your wife is here with you?
Yes, and are we having fun? We go swimming, we play tennis, and this morning my wife rented a bicycle built for two.
Oh, and you both went for a ride, huh?
No, just her.
Then why did she get a bicycle built for two?
Believe me, she can use it.
Mr. Kitzel, you mean your wife is on the heavy side?
If it was only on the side, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, well, what's the difference? As long as you're in love with her, Mr. Kitzel, that's all that matters.
That's what I keep telling myself. Well, goodbye, Mr. Bennett.
So long, Mr. Kitzel. Thanks for dropping in. Well, it seems that everybody's in Palm Springs this week.
You know, Jack, I'm glad I'm here, too, because I did some research on this community. Now, who were the earliest Americans in America?
Why, the Indians, of course.
That's right. Now, here around Palm Springs, there are many Indians. So, yesterday I went out in the desert till I met some members of the tribe that first settled Palm Springs, the Coahuila Indians.
The Coahuilas?
Yes, and do you know what those Indians said to me?
No, Don, what? Oh, for heaven's sake. What else? Now, look, Don.
No, call me Don. Me, heap big Indian chief.
You big heap, that's all. And I got another word here. Ugh. And Don, that was very educational, but you made one little mistake. It was the Tokwitz Indians who founded Palm Springs, not the Coahuilas.
Oh, no, you're wrong, Jack. It was the Coahuilas.
I'm not wrong, Don. I'll prove that I'm right. There happen to be quite a few Indians in the audience, so I'll ask one of them. I'll ask that one in the front row. He must be a chief. He's wearing a headdress. Excuse me, but was it the Tokwitz Indians or the Coahuilas who founded Palm Springs?
I don't know.
Well, what tribe do you belong to?
I don't know.
Well, where's your reservation?
I don't know.
You don't know anything. You're a fine Indian.
I'm not an Indian.
Then how come you're wearing those feathers in your hair?
I went to the Chichi last night and sat too close.
Last night, you must be an Indian because I know you had a reservation. Hey, that was pretty funny, wasn't it, Dennis?
I don't know.
Look, Dennis, why don't you just... I'll get it. Hello?
I have a long-distance call for Jack Benny.
This is Jack Benny.
It's Collect. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. A Collect call, huh? Operator, find out who's calling.
Just a moment. Mr. Benny will not accept the charges till he knows who's calling.
Tell him it's Lana Turner.
Rochester. Rochester, I thought you'd be down here by now. Where are you calling from?
Pomona.
Pomona? What'd you stop there for?
I got a flat tire.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, that's good. It was laying in the road, and it's better than the one we had on. If I find three more, I'll be there by morning.
Well, you better be here by morning. I'm going to play golf, and I want you to caddy for me.
Oh, boss, I hate to caddy for you at Palm Springs.
Stop complaining. Tamarisk is a very level course. There's nothing tough about it.
Nothing for you, but how about me? I have to carry a golf bag, 12 clubs, a basket of sandwiches, a gallon of lemonade, a first aid kit, and a parasol.
So what?
You don't need a caddy, you need a burro.
Oh, Rochester, you don't carry so much.
I don't. Remember what happened last time I went out loaded down like that?
What happened?
An old prospector tied a rope around my neck and led me off into the mountains.
Why'd you go with him?
I couldn't see where I was until he unloaded me.
Well, stop making things up. Anyway, I'm going to play golf in the morning, and I want you to caddy.
Okay, I'll do it, but do me a favor this time, will you?
What is it?
If we lose a ball, let's forget it. Those bloodhounds are hard to handle.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. All say, boss.
Now what?
Aren't you doing another television show next Sunday, March 9th, on CBS Network at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time?
That's right. Why?
You're paying for this call. Let's put a commercial in it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Rochester. Goodbye.
Bye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of the opening of Palm Springs' newest golf course, Tamaris, we are going
Jack, before we go any further, I must tell you something, and I know you're going to be surprised.
Surprised? What is it, Don?
There's a friend of yours who also belongs to Tamarisk, and he'd like to come on and say a few words.
A friend of mine? Is it Mr. Anderson, the president of Tamarisk?
No.
Well, is it Ben Hogan, the pro at Tamarisk?
No.
Well, who is it?
Danny Kaye. Come on in, Danny!
Danny Kaye!
Hello, Jack Benny.
But, Danny, this is such a surprise coming right out on my program. It's...
Oh, stop stuttering. I'm not going to charge you for it.
Oh. Now, Jack, the reason I'm here is... Well, because every time you come to Palm Springs, you always do an informal show. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, some of the boys at the club cooked up an idea that I'm sure you're going to like.
What is it?
Well, we decided to form a quartet and sing the song you wrote.
My song?
Mm-hmm.
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Suddenly I'm sick.
What?
Oh, anyway, Jack, the other three fellas are out outside. Can I call them in?
Three fellas? Who are they?
Yeah, well, Frank Sinatra, George Burns, and Groucho Marx.
And Groucho. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. That's brilliant dialogue.
Well, welcome to the show, fellas. And if you say the magic word, you get a bottle of suntan oil.
Say, Jack, that reminds me.
Huh?
Jack?
What?
That reminds me.
Huh?
That bottle of suntan oil you sold me was much too greasy, and boy, was I embarrassed.
Why? What happened?
Well, yesterday when I put some on, I slipped right out of my suit.
Kidding.
Look, fellas, I came here to sing, so let's do it and get it over with, okay?
Okay.
When I say I beg your pardon.
Hold it.
Hold it.
Yes, hold
it.
When I say...
I.
Groucho, that's me.
I may sing lousy, but I'm grammatically correct.
I'm sorry.
I'm Groucho.
Fellas, come on, I'll sing Jack's song.
And fellas, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your coming over to do it. No one but real friends, real pals, would give up a Sunday afternoon just to come over here and do this wonderful
Jack.
Song.
What?
Shut up.
Oh. All right, fellas, let's take it.
Now, what key are we going to sing it in, Danny?
It'll help if we all take different ones.
All right, fellas, let's go. Can we have a nice introduction, please? Now,
when I say I beg your pardon,
then I'll come
back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return.
Like the swallows at Serrano, return to Capistrano.
For you, my heart will always, always yearn.
Will always
child, don't be listening to anybody else.
So we're falling, going back to whence we started, and sweetheart, I'll come back to you.
Bum, 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 bum. When I say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
departed. Come back to whence we've started.
And sweetheart, I'll come back.
Gentlemen, I want to thank Danny Kaye, George Burns, Frank Sinatra, Groucho Marx, and Benny Rubin for appearing on my program today. We'll be back with you next Sunday on radio at the same time and on television a half hour later, when I hope you will all be watching. Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, is this Jack Benny?
Yeah.
Is this the Jack Benny that was born in Racine, Wisconsin?
No, I was born in Waukegan, Illinois.
Well, you got a sister named Jeanette, haven't you?
No. My sister's name is Florence.
Well, are you the Jack Benny that drives a light green DeSoto?
No. I have a Maxwell.
But you play the piano, don't you?
No, I'm sorry. I play the violin.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jack, who was that?
A phone call from a stranger.
Stay tuned to the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is the CBS Radio Network.
What'd you think of that, Lisa? Jack Benny with Frank Sinatra, Danny Kaye, George Burns, Groucho Marx, Benny Rubin, Mel Blanc, Phil Harris, Don Wilson, I mean, yeah.
You know, the thing about Jack Benny is it totally holds up today. The humor is just, I think, is funny today. Holds up better than some of the other comedies that we play here.
I agree. And I've always said that the Seinfeld show, the Seinfeld show, to me, is an homage to Jack Benny, because you had, back in the day when Jack Benny was on the air, here was a comedian that had his own show, and he was Jack Benny on the show, right? And he got laughs, but not as many laughs as everybody else. He gave the laughs really to everybody else. He had all these crazy characters around him.
And he's the central character of which everybody circles around.
Yeah, and Benny had Mary Livingston, and even though he was married in real life to Mary Livingston, she was kind of his girlfriend, kind of not his girlfriend on the show. What do you have with Seinfeld? Really all of the same elements as the Jack Benny program. You had Jerry Seinfeld, who played himself, Jerry Seinfeld, on the show. He was a comedian on the show. He had all these crazy characters. He would get laughs once in a while, but mostly the other people got the laughs. Elaine was sort of like quasi-girlfriend. He actually dated her in the earlier episodes.
Yes.
But then he had, you know, Kramer, who was probably, you know, a Dennis Day or Phil Harris. You know, there were just too many similarities. I think it was, in a way, based on, they might have said, you know, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld may have said, hey, let's do a show and let's pay homage to one of the greatest shows of all time, the Jack Benny program. It's too coincidental.
Well, it was a success again.
Yeah.
So whether it was through Jack Benny or Seinfeld, either way, what a success.
I mean, the formula worked for Jack Benny and it worked for Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Well, that could be too.
But I think it's too coincidental. Just like Duffy's Tavern.
I was going to say, there's other
Cheers
shows that we
are
talk too about
too similar. Yeah. I mean, Duffy's Tavern was set in a tavern, and Cheers was set in a tavern.
Like, there's no new ideas.
I mean, that's because the greatest entertainment were these golden age of radio shows. I firmly believe that. Let's take a quick break, and then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. I was about to tell people what the date was on that Jack Benny show, March 2nd, 1952, if you're keeping track. We'll be right back. Well, you know what, Lisa? Next week, we're going to do something really fun. Where on Saturday, we're going to play an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation of The Third Man, which was a very famous noir film. Of course, Nick would know all about The Third Man.
It's a great movie.
And then, because there was a radio show based on, it was a prequel to The Third Man called The Lives of Harry Lime, Orson Welles did that. So we're going to play The Third Man, hour-long presentation on the Lux Radio Theater, and then we're going to play The Lives of Harry Lime on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's The Great Gildersleeve and Escape, so make sure you're with us next week. But Nick DiGilio is in the house. What's up, Nick?
Hey.
How are you?
All right.
And what's on the show this morning?
We got the movie reviews.
Yep.
Lots of movies to talk about this morning. And my dad's going to tell a joke, as we do every Monday morning. And we're also going to talk about 50 things that turn 50 this year. So it's going to just make us feel real old.
Wow. Like, I'm trying to think of one. 1950. Snoopy.
Snoopy's older.
Even
than
older,
50.
Right?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Darn, I thought yeah. maybe. I don't know. Can you name one? Can we get one?
I'm going to tease it, and we'll do it a little
all
bit
right,
later.
Okay,
on.
Okay, but, cool.
Yeah.
So, what's the best movie out right now, would you say?
Oh boy. There's not, I mean, seriously, it's not a
not
great
that,
it's,
not
there's
a great.
Not a lot of great stuff out there right now. You know, I mean, my favorite movie of the year is Roma, and that's out. So that's, you know, I think it's still playing at the Music Box in 70mm. And that's the way to see it. That's the best film of the year.
Well, that's Lisa's favorite wine, Roma wines. You know, she's...
Well, this has nothing to do with wine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So Roma's the best thing that's, I mean, you know, it's by far the best movie of the year. So.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check
that's,
that
that's
out.
That's the one. I mean, it's on Netflix. You know, you can see it on Netflix.
Okay, okay.
But I would recommend going to see it in the theater.
Are you watching The Fall on Netflix? Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really, really good. Gillian Anderson from X-Files is the lead on it.
Yeah, well, that's old.
Is it? Well, it's third season, so I'm watching it.
Okay.
Have you watched any of it?
I have, yeah. I watched the first season of it.
So there's three seasons out now.
Yeah.
You can check it out.
No, I've been too busy of being obsessed with the stupidest TV show of all time, which I'm now obsessed with.
What is it?
It's called The Masked Singer. Have you seen this thing?
I saw it.
I have not.
It is the stupidest,
most
ridiculous, and I love it.
It's a little addicting in a stupid way.
It is
Masked Singer.
Stupid. It is beyond ridiculous.
And where can I
Those
see
are
it?
All
it's on Fox
on TV.
Wednesday nights, and it's the people
think
in these
you'll
ridiculous
like it
costumes.
Because it's a singing competition show, and he's out right there.
Yeah.
but it's stupid in a stupid way, but somehow I think that people were going to love it.
I love it. And I will be the first to admit it's one of the stupidest TV shows in the history of TV, and
Nick,
I watch it
every
week.
Well, listen, I like stupid.
That you do. I sit and say the same thing every week. I am completely addicted to The Bachelor. It's the most ridiculous, stupid show ever, yet I look forward to it tomorrow night for two entire hours, which is ridiculous.
The thing about this Masked Singer thing is that I happen to have a weakness for mascots.
For pineapples, perchance?
Well, and then it turns out to be Tommy Chong. I almost fell off my couch. I have a weakness for mascots. They crack me up. Whenever there's a sporting event and a mascot comes out, it kills me. This is essentially a bunch of people dressed up like mascots singing.
I know.
It's
so you got
to trying to figure out who
they
the are
celebrity is
from The Voice.
Oh, oh so it's God. A little bit like What's My Line? You know, if they're
it's not as
right?
good as that.
I mean,
What's My Line is actually a good show.
That's
this
what
is
I mean.
Ridiculous.
Same kind of concept.
Well,
I mean,
no,
yeah.
it's really not. You check it out.
All right,
it's Wednesday nights on Fox, and it is just the most.
You'll hate it.
It's so stupid.
I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be like. Nick.
Yeah.
No. I'd say to myself, Nick, while I'm watching it.
I know.
And it
too.
Is it's horrendously stupid, but I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a weird dichotomy.
Right. It is.
Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. So stick around because Nick DiGilio is up next. And thanks for listening, folks. Appreciate you. Ben Anderson, thanks for producing the show. Great job, buddy.